dynamic to you.
Yeah, that helps. That's the sign of age. So it's first welcome to Sunday, everybody that's here. This is the second part series in fasting. So the first part was all the examples in the scripture of different times, different reasons to fast. The follow-up to this is the different types of fasts. So there are three different types. Some do not mean you go completely without food or water, so that's encouraging. But I thought it would be good just to recap and start, and I can read this one. Going back to Isaiah 57, to just remind ourselves what the Lord says when we do a fast that's correct and right before Him. There we go. So, when we fast in the right way, when we fast according to the way that God wants us to fast, His word tells us, Isaiah 58, we'll start at verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and you do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then the Lord says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and shall cry, and he will say, here I am. What I love is, a lot of the time, there's so many examples in the scripture, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Israelites, even back in the Old Testament, they would fast and they would do all these ceremonial things and they would make such a big outward appearance. They would make a big declaration, if I'm fasting, I'm being humble before the Lord, woe is me. And God does not honor that. We already know God honors a humble heart, contrite spirit. But I find it fascinating that when we fast in accordance with His will, all these things will start happening. And what I love, and I've been thinking on it this week, it says, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Why do I need Him to be my rear guard? It's because I don't see what's behind me. I'm moving forward, and for those that know me, I'm partially blind in my left eye, so I need somebody on the side as well. I don't see anything over here. I don't even see my arm at the moment. So to have somebody that's my rear guard watching out for those coming behind me, I definitely need that and the side. But God's got your back.
Amen.
So we also I'll just recap again, how do we fast? We pray, we confess our sins. It's always a time of repentance. It's really about getting our hearts right before the Lord. And that's necessary. I mean, there's no point in fasting if you're not going to pray and you're not also going to look inward. Good thing to do is also turn to the scripture, remind yourself, find the promises, find the verses that you love, focus on that. And then the other thing I have is keep it secret. Unless it's a community fast, unless we've all agreed as a body that we're going to do it together for a period of time, if you're doing it, it's a personal thing between you and the Lord. Keep it secret. Don't declare it. Nobody likes it when people declare all the good works they're doing. You just turn up. You just don't listen. So, yeah, it's good. So, the types of fasts, and there's a few. The first one is the Daniel fast, which maybe everybody might know, be familiar with. So if you could get ready to read. So the Daniel fast is a fast of going without certain types of foods. So you don't strip everything out of your diet. And Daniel did this when he was captured by the Babylonians. And he refrained from the rich, sweet Babylonian diet. Part of why they restrained from participating in that too was a lot of the meat that the Babylonians used was sacrificed to idols, offered up to idols. So it wouldn't have been something they wanted anyway. So part of that was still honoring God and saying they didn't want to eat that food because it wasn't consecrated, it was sacrificed to idols. So it's, and the Daniel fast, there's a couple of Daniel fasts. There's a 10-day fast and there's a 21-day fast. We'll start with the 10-day fast. So it's Daniel chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. Do you want to come up here?
Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine,
That's not a bad fast. I think we could all do that. That's just being vegetarian, which I find super easy. And we do mostly in the house. Alex doesn't always like it, but it's bad. But it's another example. And reading through the Book of Daniel, there's four different kings that he ends up serving through the Book of Daniel. And in every instance, he finds favor. And in almost every instance, there's examples of him fasting, or definitely examples of him praying. And so there's a correlation, though. There's a connection into what's happening. But he definitely found favor with the Lord. And there was, the 10-day fast, just vegetables and water. Then they do a 21-day fast, which might be a bit more of a challenge, which is Daniel 10, verse 2 to 3. I can read this. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Then the interesting thing is, this chapter continues. He goes down to the river, he sees somebody standing at the river that is shining in all glory, which scripture hints or alludes that it's probably Jesus Christ. And then you continue to go down. Daniel's having a vision at this point. And you go down to verse 11. And this is probably an angel, Gabriel or Michael, touches him, and it says, "And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word, I stood up, trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words have heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." What I love about this is Daniel fasted 21 days. He saw nothing. Nothing changed. Nothing happened, yet he still persisted. And it doesn't say what type of fast he did. It doesn't say that he went completely without food or if he just had vegetables and water. But I love that for 3 whole weeks, he was on his knees, he was praying, he was humbling himself, and he was praying to the Lord. And then finally, an angel speaks to him and says, "Because of your words, I heard your heart. But it took me 21 days to get here." So we have to remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We have to remember that when we pray in the spirit, we don't always see what's happening in the spirit realm. And this is probably a whole other sermon, but it just reminds us, it's Ephesians 6, 12 to 18. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of this dark age, against evil forces and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. We have to remember that's what our struggle is. Any of the struggles I face in my life, yeah, they may seem like they're against people. They may seem like I've had some terrible bosses or I've just not got along with people, and sometimes that is the case, but we have to remember our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And Daniel here and his fast really, really brings that back to us. So it's a time of when there is a big struggle, when there is something that we need a breakthrough for, we need to push through. Sometimes we have to go a little bit further. And sometimes that little bit further is we have to strip ourselves. And that's what fasting a lot of the time is about. I also love that after that verse in Ephesians, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And that we stand in God's armor. So in everything we do, there's a battle. And if there's a battle, what do you do before a battle? You prepare yourself. You get ready. You get dressed. You put on the right clothes. For us as Christians, for believers, that's the word of God. That's the armor of God. That's prayer. That's fasting. That's how we prepare ourselves. It's not always easy. And I can say sometimes I procrastinate. It's not easy. But, you know, that's what we have to do. The other fast that I found really fascinating is Daniel's king does a fast for Daniel. So it's Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. I can't remember which king it was actually. It might have been the second one.
Behind you, if it helps.
Yeah, I'm just reading. I may have actually referenced Daniel chapter 3. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So, I'll stop there. You can leave this up. Daniel again has found favor. This is the second king that he's serving at this point. So if you remember the first king, they were at a banquet, there was a handwriting on the wall, and it said, there's going to be destruction. If you don't humble yourself before the Lord, you're going to lose everything, and you'll be like a cattle sleeping in the fields with dew on your back. And so he didn't humble himself, he did lose everything. And then a second king rose up, and which was his son. And this is when the king decrees a stupid thing across the land, that if you don't worship me, you know, something terrible will happen. As in all things in the scripture. If you don't do what the people of the land want to do, and you don't, and you follow the Lord, you can get punished. So this is when Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. So this is right before. And the king... So they had declared that there would be, you pray to the king, and if you did not, you would face punished by death. Daniel obviously did not adhere to that. He continued to pray and seek the Lord three times a day, and men came upon him and found him praying three times a day. And so they grabbed him, and they go to throw him in the lion's den. The king at this time is so distressed, and also so moved with the fact that there's only one God that can save him, that the king fasts for Daniel. And so the king's fast is, he did not eat, he did not sleep, he did not listen to music. And it says, I'm trying to find it here. Is it 18? Now the king went to his place and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, also his sleep from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. We all know what happened when he gets to the den of the lions. Daniel's alive! There was an angel in the den closing the lion's mouth, and Daniel is saved. But again, this is not even a true believer fasting, but he recognizes the power of God, and he fasted himself, he humbled himself, and God heard that and saved Daniel. So I think it brings back again that when we fast and when we pray, we don't always do it for ourselves. We do it for the safety, for the protection of those that we love and those around us that we care for. There's the Jonah fast. I think we all know Jonah. He was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights. And the Jonah's fast of Jonah, or what's described in the book of Jonah, is actually really interesting. Because it, let me go here, it's Jonah 3, verse 6 to 9. And I love Jonah because it's only four books. You can read it and be good. So Jonah had been in the belly of the whale. He came out, he was in Nineveh, and took him 3 days to walk through Nineveh, and he said, in 40 days there'll be destruction. If you do not repent, there'll be destruction. And so the people of Nineveh believed God. So, can I tell you? Let me start in verse 5, sorry. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Does anyone notice here that it's not just the people fasting? It's the animals. And I was Googling this too and trying to figure out the reason, but it comes back to, and it said that in Persia, a lot of the time, they would use animals as a display of mourning. And I think we do this here in this country, and I think various other countries do, but you'll have black horses, or you'll put certain saddles or ornaments on them that show there's a display of mourning. And so this is the king saying, I'm serious. We all need to get serious about this. This is not just about us. It's our animals. It's our livestock. Because a lot of what we do and how they survive is through their animals too. And so this is definitely a very, very personal fast. The entire city fasted. All the animals fasted. And the question you should always ask is, did it work? Does anyone know if it worked? It did work. God did not punish Nineveh. He relented. And the best thing is, at the end, and Jonah got very angry, at the end, God says, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? God also cares about livestock and our animals. So we should... It's good to remember this, and for us to remember that too.
Wow.
Alex will tell you, I don't know how many times I've prayed over our dog. And the cats now, because there's more animals in the house than people, but, So, there's the Daniel fast, the Jonah fast, there's an Ezra fast. Ezra fast for protection, they're building the temple. There's a 3-day fast. I think this one everyone probably knows, the book of Esther, when Esther had to go before the king, and she was asking for the lives of the Jewish people, and they fasted 3 days, 3 nights. There's a 7-day fast. There's a 10-day fast. The 10-day fast is the Daniel fast. There's a 21-day fast, which is also a Daniel fast. And then there's a 40-day fast, which I've never done in my life. But only 3 people in the Bible actually did the 40-day fast. And that was Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And I love that because Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and Jesus represents the new covenant that does away with the law and the prophets and fulfills everything that was said before. So it's quite significant. The interesting thing too is that there's a 1-day fast that we can all do. The number of one is the beginning. It's the number of God. The 3-day fast is the Godhead. So that's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 7-day fast is the number of perfection and completeness. The 10-day fast is the number of law, order, and restoration. And the 40-day fast is the number of probation, testing, ending, and victory or judgment. What I want to remind us all is God, there are so many things that God has encouraged us to do, and a lot of those we do easily, and we remember them. He tells us to pray on all occasions, to serve the community, to help orphans, widows and orphans, to feed the hungry, to support each other, to lift our voices up and praise Him. He also tells us to fast. And if we're not fasting, we're missing out on something God is commanding us and encouraging us to do. And from the beginning to the end of this book, there are so many examples. Can't go through all of them. But if we're not taking a time and we're not repenting, we're not stripping ourselves of ourselves, we're missing something. And the thing that we're missing is hearing God's word even more clearly than we may think we already hear it. And fasting is just being humble. And it's not easy to humble ourselves. I think we all know that we're full of pride. And we're full of ourselves a lot of the time. And a fast shouldn't be a struggle. It shouldn't be something you proclaim. It should be something easy. It's very personal. And fasting sometimes means Alex and I have done this together when we're trying to move through something together in our relationship, something that's really we're struggling with, or something blocking our progress. And it gives us a moment to kind of stop, take stock of where we are, and together listen to the Lord and wait for Him. And sometimes that waiting is probably the hardest part. Daniel gives us that great example where he was fasting 21 days and he didn't hear from the Lord until after. And he didn't hear from the Lord because the angels were fighting in the heavenly places and were prevented from getting to Him. So we have to remember that there are things that we don't see that our fasting breaks, and it breaks those yokes, it breaks those chains. And it brings freedom. And the thing I wanted us to encourage as a body is we should come together and fast. We should agree what we want to do, what our direction is, what our vision is, where we want to go with Merton. And more than likely, there are spiritual bondages over this town that we need to fast and pray to break. And Ephesians already tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not where our battle is. And so if we want to do something different, we have to do something different ourselves. And so that's what I want to end on. It's what I want to encourage us to do. And I can share all of my notes. I've shared some of Philip's here already. But yeah, fasting isn't also just going without food and water. We can eat vegetables and drink water. I also like, I don't know if anyone's ever done a seafood diet. You do seafood and eat it.
Very good.
It's not a biblical fast, but you know. I'll close this there, and I think we've got something to think about. I think we've got some. We have a church members meeting coming up. It would be good to think about and consider a day of fasting. And I know many churches will do like a whole month of fasting, where one person in the church will pick a day and it'll be their day, and they'll pray for the city where they are. So, Lord, we lift up Your name. We thank You so much that You have brought all of us to Marston. We thank You, Lord, that You brought all of us to Marston Baptist Church. Lord, we know that that is not a coincidence. We know it's not by chance that You brought all of us here together. And we ask, Lord, that You bring us together in one accord. Lord, that we start praying together. We start fighting against the spiritual forces, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Lord, we just ask that You remind us daily to stand firm in Your word and Your scripture, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. And Lord, part of that is knowing Your word. It is setting time aside to pray and talk to You, Lord. And I just ask that through the rest of this week that You remind us all how simple it is to talk to You. that prayer doesn't have to be a complicated thing with fancy words, Lord, that it's just a, hey, I'm struggling, hey, I need help, that it's a cry from our heart to you, Lord. Lord, we just ask for direction, for vision and purpose, Lord, as a body for this town, Lord, that it would start here and go so much further than Merston, Lord, that you would start something huge here, Lord, from our humbleness and from our face, just constantly seeking you. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for this community. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.